Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Morena, Dr. Bryce Edwards, how are you?
Morena, very well, thanks, Rachel. It's lots going on in the world here.
It's a bit crazy, isn't it?
Everywhere. It is, actually, yes. And I really have trouble keeping it up with it all, especially with what's going on in the UK at the moment.
I've been trying to keep up with it, and I'm lost as well.
But it's worth thinking about, you know, where this all goes back to. So it's all about Brexit. It's all about the fact that at the moment the UK is part of the European Union, but they had that referendum, what, about 3 years ago to pull out of the EU, and that was passed. And so the government, which has been under a Tory party regime, has had to negotiate that disentanglement with the EU. It hasn't been going well. At the moment, there's been deadlines that have been passed, and we've got the current deadline of the 31st of October, whereby the UK will be out of the EU if no deal is reached. And so this deal they're trying to create is essentially a divorce agreement, mm-hmm. whereby the UK goes out of the EU but keeps maybe some privileges, it does some good things for the EU, supposedly, but no deal has been reached, and it looks like they might just cut off all ties, essentially. And so there's a lot of people in Britain that are quite unhappy with this, especially in Parliament. So Parliament's really in battle against the government of the day, and it's quite a close-run thing. So what's happened in the last few days is that the Parliament essentially has grabbed the agenda, if you like, mm-hmm. and they have passed in the last few hours some legislation forcing the Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, to go back to the EU and ask for an extension through to January of this deadline, essentially asking him to beg to stay in a bit longer. And of course he doesn't like that, and he's calling for a snap election.
So why is he pushing so hard for a no-deal Brexit?
Well, he believes ideologically in cutting ties with the EU, and he's having trouble getting a good deal. The EU are also playing hardball, and they're not. Yeah, the terms that they're offering for this divorce aren't that great. So he just says, "We'll stuff you. We'll just push out without a deal and see how you like that." And both sides aren't really liking it too much. And so he's hoping that the EU will blink and say, oh, okay, we'll give you a better deal. But they don't look like they will. Mm. And people in the UK are starting to get quite worried that this might cause economic havoc in the UK if suddenly all those agreements are torn up. So, yep, at the moment he's wanting to call a general election, but the Parliament have to actually agree to that. Mm-hmm. And it's not clear that they will agree.
This is it's really turbulent. I'm watching live updates from their Parliament sitting right now, and it's wild. it's kind of like the sort of big politics that you sort of think you'll read about in your history textbooks one day, and I think that we're sort of living in the middle of it right now. It's quite exciting in a sort of perverse way as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of ideology involved. There's lots of dramas and splits in political parties and uncharted water, constitutional sort of debates. But yeah, the fact that the Conservative Party are actually really divided on this, and over the last few days we've had a number of them, I think about 30 of the Conservative MPs have actually voted against their own government and therefore have been essentially expelled from the Tory Party, which is also quite a big deal.
It is a big deal. Hey, let's come a little bit closer to home now, shall we? The Labor government has announced a Kiwi Build reset yesterday. So what does this mean, Bryce, and why have they done this?
Well, of course, this was the big policy of the Labor Party at the last election. They said they were going to build 100,000 affordable houses over the next 10 years. They've had a lot of trouble once they've got into government actually delivering on this. We had Phil Twyford, the Minister of Housing. He lost the portfolio to Megan Woods. So she took over, about 2 months ago, promising a big reset of this, saying that she would look at Kiwi Build, how can we improve it, how can we change it. She came through with her announcement yesterday, and she had a few tinkerings, a few changes to it, but the big thing was that she officially announced it. 100,000 house target was now gone, and she wasn't going to replace it with anything. And now she's just saying the government will do their best to build as many houses as possible. In the meantime, there's a number of houses, I think about 400, nearly 500, that KiwiBuild have built that aren't being sold. And so they've just decided to sell those to anyone on the market. They'll no longer be KiwiBuild houses, and they'll essentially cut their losses on that. Megan Woods says that some of those houses were built in the wrong places, really, because the government was just in such a rush to just get KiwiBuild houses on the books to try and meet those targets that they made some mistakes. There's just a few other things that are worth mentioning.
Mm-hmm.
The government has these Home Start grants for new home buyers. But it's not strictly about KiwiBuild. It's just trying to allow people that are having trouble getting their deposits together to be able to afford that. They have changed some of the rules around those so that now you only need 5% deposit to get one of those grants to apply for a mortgage instead of 10%. So that will help people that are bidding on houses. I think there's also some changes that mean that you can now pool your money with a few other people.
Right.
So it doesn't have to just be you and your partner. It can be you and your friends, flatmates, to go and get one of those.
That's quite an interesting change.
Yeah,
that seems to be sort of something we haven't seen before in New Zealand.
Yeah, so the government's being creative. They're trying to come up with new things, and they're realising that the old system of how people buy houses has changed.
Mm.
And so they're trying to meet that demand. Another scheme they've come up with is a shared equity scheme. Now, we don't know the details of this because it hasn't actually been through Cabinet, but the government's going to allocate about $400 million to this. And essentially it's this idea that renters will be able to, or some renters, will be able to put some of their rent payments towards actually taking some ownership of the house that they rent. So it's kind of unusual, it's innovative, but essentially it means that slowly over time some renters will be able to start owning some of the house they rent.
It's pretty interesting. So those changes seem kind of, radical in their own quiet way, maybe. But you sound like you might be a little bit sceptical about this reset as a whole. Is that fair to say?
Overall, I'm quite underwhelmed. I thought they might come up with something a bit bigger, and they might actually come out with some big spending ideas for some sort of mass production of houses, maybe even putting focus into more state housing. But really, to me, it's a retreat. It's a bit of a back down by the government, and a lot of people really voted for the parties of government, especially Labor, on the idea that they were going to fix the housing crisis, that they were going to build all these affordable houses, and now essentially they're giving up on that, they're capitulating. So for me, it's a wee bit like that capital gains tax back down, that they've kind of given up and they're not really coming forward with a better offer for the public that voted for these.
All right, well, just before we jump off, let's talk a little bit about the social services funding gap. So this has kind of come out in the last couple of days that on Monday, in fact, social services providers Aotearoa released an independent report that found that the government is underfunding social service charities by an estimated $630 million a year. So this has been kind of an ongoing problem in New Zealand for about 30 years, according to Brenda Pilot, who is the national manager of the SSPA. We seem to have quite an interesting and maybe problematic way of funding our social service providers, where they sort of have to stop gap between what the government gives them and then what they need to actually do the job they do through fundraising. Do you think we need to change that, Bryce, and how could we change that?
The issue here is that not all social services are provided through the state. So increasingly, over the years, governments have contracted out a lot of their social welfare responsibilities, essentially, to charities, to NGOs. These are not-for-profit groups that are employing social workers, Donatos, sexual health clinics, lots of really important parts of, especially with this government's wellbeing agenda. These are kind of NGOs that are actually going out there and helping society. Government gives them some money, but just not enough. So these NGOs are kind of costing about $2 billion a year for all the things they do. But they only get funded about $1.3 billion by the government for these things. So according to this report, there's a big shortfall of about $600-700 million each year. And these NGOs then have to go out and raise the money themselves by donations, fundraising, etc. And it's not really what they should be doing. They should just be focusing on their clients It also means that a lot of people they employ, like social workers, aren't being paid enough. And so state agencies like Oranga Tamariki can afford to pay much bigger salaries. And so a lot of these social workers are shifting from the NGOs through to the government services. And so it's hard to know what can be done about this except for the government just coming up with more money. And I think the next year's budget is really the one to watch for this.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Bryce. Lots going on in the world, and I'm sure next time we speak to you, there'll be plenty to update on as well. So thank you very much this morning.
Thanks, Rachel.
Cheers. We'll speak to you soon.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.